On one side, Lake Mendota here. We are on the Isthmus of Madison, Pat Kreitlow. Nationally, a quick update. Electoral College, Donald Trump leading Kamala Harris right now with 238 electoral votes to 200 for Kamala Harris. The big three, the blue wall for either candidate, really, but Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, all yet to be determined. All those three states are still out, along with Arizona and Nevada, amongst others right now. So it is going to be a while, Pat Kreitlow, before
that,
we know.
Right, with that reminder that there are 105,000 absentee ballots in Milwaukee that will be added yet to the unofficial results that you see right now. Whether that's enough to overcome the advantage that Donald Trump has already built up across many parts of Wisconsin, rural Wisconsin and elsewhere, is the big open question as Kamala Harris comes closer to needing to sweep the blue wall in order to prevent a second Donald Trump presidency.
We have a Civic Media News projection for you. According to the Associated Press, Civic Media can now project that Tony Weed, the Republican for the 8th Congressional District here in Wisconsin, has been declared the winner by the Associated Press. Tony Weed, the Republican, defeats Dr. Kristen Lierley, the Democrat. And again, Pat Kreitlow, somebody that we know, you in particular, know particularly well. A heck of a race for Kristen Lierley.
Yes, but it in putting it in the larger frame, Tony Weed always ran as Trump endorsed Tony Weed.
Right.
It was Trump's name was first on the campaign signs. Trump endorsed him before he even officially announced that he was in the race, and took that as an article of faith that there was still enough Trump support across Northeast Wisconsin that would take him to a victory. And in this instance, it did.
Let's go from the 8th Congressional District to the 3rd in Southwest Wisconsin, where WRCO News Director Joanne Krulatz is standing by in Southwest Wisconsin and Richland Center. Joanne, quickly, an update for us from Richland Center.
Well, you know, it's been a close race between Baldwin and Hovde and Van Orden and Cook. Then good news, though, on school referendum aspects. There's only one municipality left to report, but Ithaca school referendum looks like it will pass 655 yes to 304 no. Mm-hmm. And as you know, that's pretty sure it's going to pass because that is a very small school district.
Sounds good. Joanne, anything else before we leave you?
Well, unofficially, it looks like Tony Kurtz defeated Julia Henley for the 41st State Assembly, which, of course, that was a redrawn assembly map. So Tony Kurtz now covers all of Richland County, where before he only covered a portion of Richland Center. So, and Julia Henley was from Blue River, from Richland County. So, but he won that according, you know, that's what they're saying, with 64% of the votes.
All right. Sounds good, Joanne. I know you're going to continue to watch that for us again at our great station, WRCO and WRCE in Southwest Wisconsin. We appreciate you, Joanne Krulatz. We'll check back in with you just a little bit later. It is now coming up on 3 minutes past the hour of 11 o'clock. Let's recombobulate again with our political editor here at Civic Media, the founder of the Recombobulation Area, over the Recombobulation Area himself, Mr. Dan Schaefer.
Todd, how are you doing? How are you hanging in there
I got, you know, a little Wonder State coffee. I got a ginger candy. I got Pat Kreitlow and you. What more do I need?
You need numbers. And those are the things Dan's following, and following in part to see where Donald Trump is compared to 4 years ago, where Kamala Harris is compared to Joe Biden 4 years ago. And you wanted to stress one of the fundamentals of the race that we haven't talked about for a while. Kamala Harris has been in this race for, 108 days, something
right.
like that.
Right.
And before that, it was Joe Biden, and it was not looking good for him at the time. A lot of people thought there were going to be big changes in 100-some days, but maybe not.
Yeah, I think this is one thing that we cannot overlook when we're breaking down some of the results of this race. Joe Biden is an unpopular incumbent. His approval rating in the state of Wisconsin was never, it cratered down to about 40% and never recovered. Mm. even, you know, it, some nationally, it ticked up after he dropped out of the race, but that really wasn't the case in Wisconsin. So I think if people are wanting change in this election, and if this is a change election, you know, you take a look at the, it's a Democratic incumbent, and people are voting against that incumbent. That could be a reason we're seeing a lot of the success across the board that we're seeing for Republicans tonight. I think we can talk about, you know, all sorts of different things with attack ads and the money in the race and whatever, but you have an incumbent who has been tremendously unpopular. And that has not changed for the past 2 or 3 years. You know, there was, I think Democrats did better than many people expected in the midterms. You know, usually you see the kind of wipeout type numbers coming back against an unpopular incumbent. But I think that is one of the things that, you know, when I was covering the Marquette poll last week, that was one of the things that Charles Franklin stressed as one of those fundamentals in the race. If people are not happy with the incumbent, are you know, iffy on the economy, that is going to lead to an advantage for the opposition party.
I think, though, we have the recombobulation area, but we may need the deja vu area, because you once again have a case where a Democratic administration had to rescue what a Republican president had left behind. The Democratic administration then gets tagged as tax and spend, and the Republicans say, we will be more fiscally responsible. Rinse, repeat. Every economist that has studied Donald Trump's plans for the economy versus Kamala Harris's has made clear this cycle is going to repeat itself again. But the voters don't decide on what Nobel Prize winning economists say. They judge it on how they feel today.
Right. You could talk about, you know, yes, the American recovery has been the best in the world.
Right.
You could judge it on all of these different metrics. But I'm going to quote Gordon Hintz. I talked to a former minority leader in Wisconsin. I talked to him for my piece on the Fox Valley, and he was saying that, like, it's your typical Democratic issue. If it takes three sentences to explain it, you're going to lose.
Yes.
And I think that's kind of where they are on the economy. The Republicans have had the advantage on the economy throughout this race. And, you know, the polling that indicated that Harris was closing the gap, and I think the messaging that she had in the home stretch was successful. But I think that advantage and that the unpopularity of Joe Biden is it a factor that we cannot overlook when we're looking at the results tonight.
Which just seems bizarre to me, and I'm not disputing what you're saying, Dan, but I guess as someone who's kind of a political nut and has followed this stuff and worked in it for a lot of years, when I think back to 4 years ago, you know, I knew people who were dying of COVID. The economy was shut down. Gas prices were $4 a gallon. I mean, you could go on and on the things that we know. And you had a person that was just creating chaos day in and day out. And then here comes along Joe Biden, who takes care of everything I just said largely and is a stand-up guy, has one bad debate, and people want to go sour on him because their eggs cost 25 cents more than they did 3 years ago. I mean, you know, as we say back in Richland Center, just don't add up.
Yeah, but there was more than one bad debate.
Right. People had soured on him, mm-hmm. I think, beginning in kind of, you know, not too long into his presidency. Like, he didn't have a particularly long honeymoon period. And his numbers really started to fall fairly early, and they just have not been able to recover. And I think this is, you know, you could see this to a certain extent of this race as a referendum on the incumbent. I think that is one of those essential questions, right? Of, are you better off than you are 4 years ago? I would agree with you, Todd. I would agree that we are better in a better place with a thriving economy, and we are not a nation consumed by COVID.
We talk a lot, though, about Democrats don't toot their own horn. And after the State of the Union, when Joe Biden got a bounce because he had a strong State of the Union performance, and he finally embraced the term Bidenomics, and that lasted about a month.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kept getting hammered on the economy. But if he and Democrats had done a better job of tooting their own horn, we might be having a different discussion. But they allowed Trump and Hovde and others to set the message, the economic message, and say, isn't this terrible? Aren't you miserable? Don't you hate this? And Biden and the Democrats, I don't think, responded nearly forcefully enough. That's what I think we're seeing in the numbers tonight.
And I think you also can't overlook the fact that there are some certain people out there who are thinking pre-pandemic, not thinking about what happened in 2020, thinking about pre-pandemic and thinking, hey, things were pretty good at that point, whatever it might be. And post-pandemic, oh, everything's more expensive now. And so if you're just comparing those two things on their face, you know, obviously the context matters, all of the different narratives matter, but if you're looking at just those two things, when did I feel better about the economy, about my pocketbook? There are people who might be out there saying, yeah, things were just too expensive the last 4 years, and we want to go back to, you know, this pre-COVID dynamic that Donald Trump was overseeing.
Dan Kelly, political editor, will recombobulate with you in a bit.
Always. That's Dan Schaefer, by the way.
What did I say?
We're about to talk about James Kelly.
Oh, sorry. I'm looking at one thing. Again, you know, it's that time of night.
He's discombobulated.
I'm discombobulated, Dan. I apologize. We'll recombobulate with you in a moment.
James Kelly is reporting, our reporter there in the Chippewa Valley, that the Rebecca Cook watch party has ended and she has left the building. No new remarks beyond waiting to see the final vote totals. That's in the third congressional district. In the eighth congressional district, the Associated Press has called it. Incumbent Republican Brian Stile has defeated Peter Barca and will take another term in that southeast Wisconsin district. So that enables us now to, having updated some of the Wisconsin races, to head to another one of my Courier newsroom colleagues from the Copper Courier in Arizona. And Cam Stevenson is the one of the folks that helped found the Copper Courier way back in the day, meaning five years ago or so. And Cam joins us now. Cam, we're in Arizona. I forgot to ask. Nope, I'm not hearing you here. Hang on a second. Let's see if either you're muted or if somebody can hit a button to hear you better.
We'll give him a second to recombobulate.
There we go. See, we can all get discombobulated here.
It always can happen. Yeah, absolutely.
That's okay.
Hey, yep. Is that better?
There you go. There you are. How are you, Cam?
Okay. Great. You know, doing a lot better now that we can actually communicate. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you tell us kind of the latest there, where you too have not just a swing state presidential race, but you have a key U.S. Senate race as well? How are things looking in both of those instances at this hour?
Yeah, no, we got the presidential, of course, the Senate race with Ruben Gallego and Carrie Lake, and then we have a few congressional House races as well. I will say that we don't know enough to definitively say anything here. We still have about 33% of votes in Maricopa County still to count, which will take several days, possibly weeks. And so we don't have enough to determine anything, but I can tell you what the tea leaves say so far. And what they're telling us is that they want Ruben Gallego in the Senate. He's the Democratic candidate. It's teetering back and forth between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump for the presidency. And the House races that are pretty close are currently favoring Democrats on both ends.
How would you characterize the Senate race? Because Carrie Lake is an unusual figure who still, I believe, has the delusion that she's also won the governor's race from a couple of years ago. How was that race? How'd it go over there?
So, well, Carrie Lake, yeah, I mean, she is actually still litigating her 2022 gubernatorial loss. She has a case going through the Supreme Court that's trying to seat her as governor, which would be tricky if she won Senate. However, she's not going to have to worry about either because the gubernatorial race is done. We've had Katie Hobbs as our governor for 2 years. And Carrie Lake, unfortunately for her, carries all of the baggage of Donald Trump, but none of the clout.
There you go.
she's offended a large segment of the Arizona Republican Party, you know, a big group that are very pro John McCain, like those era, that type of Republican. She has also offended, of course, a lot of Democrats, independents, anyone who supports abortion access, which was also on the ballot here in Arizona. And she hasn't done much to win over new voters since 2022. And we're seeing that now. I believe Gallego is up by about 100,000 votes, which still isn't enough to call the race, but it is a very comfortable lead. And he gave what I would call a low-key victory speech about 20 minutes ago at the Democratic Party's watch night.
Now, I don't want to paint with a broad brush here when I talk about Latino voters, but we were talking a little bit ago about the unreal 35-point swing for Ted Cruz, who lost the Latino vote badly 6 years ago and actually won the Latino vote by single digits, but still won the Latino vote this time around. Is there anything from exit polls or other reporting that you've done that would indicate any kind of a change in in the vote there for the presidential race, which we know is still far too early to call?
Yeah, no, definitely. We don't have demographic breakdown of our votes in any sort. I haven't seen any reliable exit polls on demographics other than Republican, Democrat, Independent. But I will say that recent polling from some grassroots groups here in Arizona, they surveyed about 1,000 Latino voters, Democrats, Independents, Republicans. And I believe it was about 70% of people who they surveyed said that they just don't trust the Republican Party here in Arizona to properly reflect their values. And one of the problems that was seen in that polling is that Republicans here, they hammer immigration and border policy. But Latinos, a majority of them aren't first generation. They're second generation, third, fourth generation Americans. And immigration is one of the issues they're concerned about, but it isn't a priority. And so Republicans here have kind of pigeonholed that issue and pushed that where Latinos here aren't hearing about the economy. They're not hearing their plans for affordable housing. They're not hearing how Republicans could actually help their families. And so they are, from this polling anyway, they have the vast majority have continued to stick with the Democratic candidates. But again, we're not going to know the actual results for a little bit longer.
All right. Cam Stevenson from the Copper Courier, part of Courier Newsroom. Find his reporting and his team at coppercourier.com. Cam, thanks so much. Great to talk to you.
Yep, thanks. You too, Pat. Have a good night.
Yep.
Happy election night.
Thank you. You too.
And now we go to another one of our great reporters here at Civic Media, Lisa Hale, WGBW up in Green Bay, Wisconsin, who has been at the Tony Weed victory party tonight up there in Green Bay. And Lisa, it was, in fact, a victory party, as the Associated Press has called it, as Tony Weed is now congressman-elect.
Absolutely. And he gave his victory speech before the AP called it about 53% of the vote was counted, and he had a 60% advantage there. So he did call it, and he did give his acceptance speech. And the cool thing about it is that he said he was now working towards healing the divide that seems to be happening in and around Wisconsin with the us versus them. So it was good to hear that come from him.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. And regardless, and we still have a ways to go here tonight before we find out on the presidential ticket which side is going to be declared the winner or not. But Lisa, you bring up a good point, and it is this. Once all of these votes are counted, once the results are known, it is incumbent upon us as Wisconsinites to come together and recognize that our neighbors are not our enemies. And I give Tony Weed credit. That sort of rhetoric tonight is exactly, it doesn't matter whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, in my opinion, that's the kind of rhetoric we need from all our candidates tonight.
And that's what he was trying to say, you know, now is the time to come together, to heal the divide, and to work together to make things better for Northeast Wisconsin. And that was his message.
Yeah. Lisa, any other reporting from that part of the state tonight that you'd like to share with our statewide audience?
I wish I had more to tell you.
Well, that's a pretty big list. Fine.
Yeah, a new congressman is not small potatoes here.
No, I've been in your shoes. You don't want to get off there and say, well, why did they ask me about this? And so I just want to make sure that we gave you every opportunity. But you've been doing fantastic work, as you always do for us up there.
Well, I appreciate that. I know in the sixth CD, mm-hmm. Glenn Grossman won re-election, so he will be returning to Congress for that in the 6th CD, which is also in this Northeast Wisconsin area. Yeah. Right now, I'm waiting for information on Senate District 18 and Senate District 30. Two of those seats are very important for the Green Bay area.
All right. Lisa Hale, thank you so very much up there at WGBW in beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin. We always appreciate you. I'm not sure. Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project out in our nation's capital. Trigvi, are you still standing by with us?
There he is.
There he is. Look at that. Trigvi's still working hard.
I know.
We appreciate it, Trigvi. What do you make of what Lisa...
I have to go to bed soon, though.
Okay. I think what Lisa just said there, Trigvi, you and I and Pat have talked about on our show about this, that after these votes are counted, regardless of who wins, I'll give Tony Weed credit for reaching out and being... trying to bring people in and reach out across the aisle and say he wants to represent everyone, and because we have to get along after this election.
I think a lot of that's going to be on the guy, you know, assuming Trump, if Trump ends up prevailing, which that seems to be the more likely outcome, a lot of that's going to be on Donald Trump. And the question you have to ask yourself is, does he have the capacity to do that? And I don't have an answer for it.
Right.
But it really is my call. I do think the Democrats, you're already seeing this. I'm not sure that they're taking the right lessons from what transpired here. I mean, the exit polls in Arizona, I went and looked them up while that other person was talking. Harris appears to have won 54% of them. Donald Trump got 43%. That is an issue. Younger males clearly is an issue. And I would just say as you know, somebody who's a former Republican who used to run campaigns on that side, when I look at how Democrats approach elections versus how Republicans do, Donald Trump built a narrative. It wasn't necessarily about issues. It was a narrative.
Or fact-based.
And Democrats, yeah, it wasn't, but that's a different story.
Right.
You know, at some point, that matters because that is, you know, they're telling a story. Well, Democrats are talking about various policy prescriptions for each people. It might make them better and more sort of what our democracy was. It's also true. The electorate is realigning.
Mm-hmm.
In Wisconsin and elsewhere.
I want to ask both of you this question because I know many of our regular listeners, and we have a lot of viewers, a lot of stream watchers tonight. What you just said, Trigvi, is that this is not over. We don't have final numbers. But if you look at the trends right now in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, it is trending towards Donald Trump. That is not going to be welcome news to many of the civic media listeners out there. Are you suggesting, Trigvi, that the way the Democrats win is to basically match the negativity of the MAGA side? I mean, Ian.
No, I'm not saying negativity. I'm saying that when these narratives are built, they have to do a better job of responding. I mean, the response to ads like those trans ads that clearly have had an impact in Wisconsin is to come back at that and say this was Donald Trump's policy. Now, it was more damaging because in Harris's case, she was actually saying it. But up and down the ballot, they were basically building a narrative. These people don't get it. And that issue is an 85-15 issue with most people.
Well,
and you can get into the details and the minutia of it, but you've got to build ads and messaging that's geared towards people, not towards algorithms.
Pat Kretlow?
I'll hold off till we got a couple of other folks waiting, and we'll comment more on where the Democratic Party goes from here.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's great. Trigvi, stand by. We'll come back to you in just a little bit. But right now, we have a report from Brittany Merlot, who was at the event for Dr. Lyerly tonight. Again, Dr. Lyerly loses to Tony Weed. Brittany, are you with us live? Do you have that report, or is this?
Yeah, sure she is.
All right, very good, Brittany. Go ahead.
Yes, I am here right now. So a little bit in shock is the vibe right now from Dr. Lyerly. A little worried, too, of course, for women's reproductive rights and all of those things. And she did make a comment that if Trump does win, she's extremely worried for all of the women and stuff like that. So just a little shock going on here. And, you know, she's worked really, really hard. She's going to continue to push forward. You know, it's, again, about women, and, you know, she is a doctor, so she's going to go back to work and continue to do that and help as many people as she possibly can, but, you know, disappointed, that's for sure, and in shock.
And am I seeing right here, do you have a little bit of audio here from Dr. Lyerly, or we can maybe get that on the other side of the break here since we're coming up against that, but we really appreciate getting some insight on what Dr. Lyerly supporters are going through this evening. So, Brittany, thank you very much for that.
Yeah, thank you.
Stay with us, Pat Kreitlow, Dan Schaefer, and our other pundits and reporters on the other side. You're listening to Civic Media's continuing coverage here tonight of Wisconsin Decides 2024, going from night to almost into morning. Don't go anywhere. We'll be here on the other side. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
CBS News Special Report, Campaign 24.
CBS News projects Vice President Harris will win California and Oregon, with Washington State leaning toward Harris. Former President Donald Trump is projected to win in Idaho and Iowa. So far, that gives Trump 211 electoral votes and Harris 145. In Michigan,
today I voted for Donald Trump, and I really disagree with all of his policies, and my convictions align with his beliefs.
You know, this is very crucial. You know what I'm saying? I made sure I was up at 5:30. I decided to go do this because Trump... We came too far to go backwards.
CBS News projects Republican Ted Cruz will keep his U.S. Senate seat in Texas after defeating Democrat Colin Allred.
This isn't just about politics. It's about preserving a way of life that has made Texas the last best hope for freedom for mankind.
CBS News Special Report, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
The Packers make a trade. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The NFL trade deadline was today, and the Packers send Preston Smith to the Pittsburgh Steelers for a 7th-round pick. The Steelers will also pick up the tab on Smith's salary. The veteran linebacker, who's had his role reduced this season in Green Bay, turns 32 later this month. College basketball, the Wisconsin men's basketball team opened up their season last night with an 85-61 win over Holy Cross in Madison. Head coach Greg Gard asked if he's determined who his starting five are going to be.
That was my main message to him tonight. As we go on this journey over the next five and a half months, we have to be together, because it's going to be different people on different nights. Who starts, in my mind, I've never talked about it or made a big deal of who is starting. Everybody knows they need to be ready.
NBA, the Bucks battled but let it slip away in the final minute, losing in Cleveland 116-114. The Bucks host the Utah Jazz on Thursday. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds to stick with us here the overnight, and a little patchy fog forming as well. Temperatures will drop to the middle to upper 30s by the time we get to sunrise. Morning fog, then mostly cloudy on Wednesday. Highs in the upper 40s to near 50. Currently 44 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
He is a comedian, a writer, and an actor, and teaches comedy. One of Wisconsin's own. Dobie Maxwell joins me here on Nightlight. Hey, Dobe.
Pete Schwabba, I am Chico. You're the man. Can you hear me? Is my Amish wood-burning computer plugged into the...
You got Amish.
Experience.
Oh, you got to update, buddy. I got gas powered and it's working like a charm. So
it'll change
your life.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most, in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
The right-wing nut pastor named Joel Webbin.
What God's word says is be quiet.
I think the 19th Amendment should be repealed.
Hashtag me too. All you have to do is publicly execute a few women who have lied.
What? Let's dissuade women from reporting rapes by putting them to death.
Only a few women. Preferably the really loud ones.
Hey, makeup. Do I rate?
I was going to get there.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Fear.
career you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will discuss election results. We will discuss whether or not we have election results. I hope you'll join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11. This is a special presentation from Civic Media News. From our Civic Media studios in Madison and across the state of Wisconsin, this is special coverage of Wisconsin Decides 2024. Here are your hosts, Todd Albaugh and Pat Kreitlow.
And welcome back to our continuing coverage here of election night. About Pat Kreitlow to go into election morning here in another half hour, 11:30 here in Wisconsin as we continue on with our coverage. Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio, which will be getting on the air in just a few hours, Patrick.
That's right. Well,
I'm going to join you.
Well, just kind of it's like unpacking and then repacking right away. And I'll just take the Roy Kent mug here and it'll have coffee in it again before
it's
too much
say,
longer.
Pat Kreitlow had no idea what the election results would be, but he chose the perfect mug for tonight.
I knew that, yeah, oi was going to be the way to go no matter what. It was going to be a long night.
There are other phrases of Roy Kent we can't say on a broadcast network,
right,
so they're probably more appropriate.
That's why
tonight.
We go with oi. Yes. That's all we've got. The thing about having an electorate that is so closely divided now is it has almost rendered obsolete, in many cases, the victory party.
Right.
The presidential ones have gotten quiet. A lot of reporters have already gone because the parties are done because they know it's going to be a very late night. We've talked a lot about Milwaukee with 105,000 ballots coming in, but Dan Schaefer just told us, you know, that there's still Wauwatosa out there, but we haven't even picked on Brown County yet. Brown County, I don't know, Dan. How would we describe Brown County's reporting so far?
I'm a little discombobulated by what's happening.
It's more discombobulated. What about the rest of us?
Yeah. In Brown County. Yeah, look, it's if you're looking at the District 90 race, that includes kind of the core of Green Bay. I'm looking at the Journal Sentinel's reporting site. They have 0% on the site.
New York Times has 1% on the state Senate race.
And so I think, you know, these are some of the most critical races in the state. Mm-hmm. The 89th and 88th Assembly District, Senate District 30, in and around Brown County and Green Bay there. We don't really have any of that information just yet. And I think, we're mentioning to some of the central count locations. It's not just the city of Milwaukee in Milwaukee County that has central count as well. You have the city of Oak Creek, the village of Shorewood, city of South Milwaukee, city of Wauwatosa, city of West Dallas. There's a lot of blue votes in some of those communities as well. So I think people might be out there talking about, you know, oh, what kind of margin should we expect from Milwaukee and what have you. There are places around Milwaukee County, in addition to the city of Milwaukee, that we should be watching as well.
This is a few minutes old now from Charles Benson at TMJ4, but he talks about the crunch time here where he says Trump was holding on to a 95,000 vote lead. Eric Hovde's holding on to a 47,000 vote lead. That's with most of the Dane County vote in. So now it is really about watching Milwaukee and Brown and seeing if that gap can be closed. And that really is what the rest of the night is all about, right?
I think so. And I think the Milwaukee margins, and again, I will say not just city of Milwaukee,
right.
Milwaukee County,
mm-hmm.
Many of those municipalities as well. So that will be a critical one to watch. One of the places that we've already seen a lot of election results come in is from Western Wisconsin. Many of the Western Wisconsin communities do not have central count. So a couple of those assembly races that I've been monitoring here in the Eau Claire area, there's kind of three new districts there, and they kind of run the spectrum. They're all pretty competitive, but one leans blue, one's kind of more in the middle, one leans a little bit more red. The one that leans blue, a Democrat, Christian Phelps, is in good shape there in Assembly District 93. That is the most blue-leaning of those three. That would be a pickup for Democrats.
Right.
So I think we're looking at an environment in the Assembly where, you know, we're not going to see these near supermajority status for Republicans there. So this is one of those that I think Democrats will add to their column.
Let me just interject real quickly. Christian Phelps is a guy who has been on your show a lot, Pat, with Wisconsin Public Education Network. My sister taught him up in Eau Claire Public Schools. Just a tremendous young person, tremendous family.
Again, a lot of energy.
A lot of energy.
A lot of commitment.
And right. I think Dan Schaefer is, well, either one of you. I mean, that's the kind of candidates we need moving forward.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're not looking for, you know, party insiders, if you will.
Right.
We're looking for people with that energy, that commitment. It's something that I continually see in up-and-coming, you know, Gen Z talent, why, you know, guys like me are very happy to start to shuffle off the stage now at this point. But Christian Phelps did that, and I'm very happy for what he was able to accomplish in the Chippewa Valley. It looks like Jody Emerson's going to hold on to her seat. But the 92nd district, former Assembly Rep Joe Plouffe, is not going to get his seat back there.
Yeah, that was the most Republican leaning of the three, and that was going to be a difficult race for him, and that was kind of where things were shaping up. In the La Crosse area, there's a couple of interesting results I want to point out, too. For one, the state Senate district, we mentioned this one earlier, Brad mm-hmm. Paff, he's in good shape to win re-election there at Senate District 32. Most of La Crosse County is in, and he's running up some good numbers there. There might be some Republican-leaning votes out there in Monroe County, but I don't think it'll be enough for Republican challenger Stacy Klein to overcome Paff's lead. Another one in the La Crosse area on the Assembly side, Assembly District 96. This could be another pickup opportunity for Democrats. Tara Johnson, the Democrat there, is in the lead. It's a pretty slim lead, but the Republican leaning county there, Vernon County, that has reported all of its results. Mm-hmm. So if there's any more results out there, they would likely be La Crosse County, and Johnson is leading in La Crosse County with more than 60% of the vote there. So I think that looks like yet another pickup opportunity for Democrats in the new maps in the La Crosse area.
Gentlemen, let's take a moment just because people might be listening, tune in and say, why aren't they talking about the U.S. Senate race? Well, with 82% of the vote in, I mean, you've talked about it extensively, Dan, well, both of you, about these numbers that are still out. It's not just presidential numbers, it's ballots, right? So we're still waiting, and this is why this race has not been called, because with 82% of the vote in, Eric Cumpty is leading 50%, 5-0, to incumbent Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin, 47.8. What is interesting to me, and again, Pat, I hesitate to do math on the air at 11:30 p.m. at night, but it appears that Senator Baldwin is down 55,000-ish votes. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the third-party candidates between Phil Anderson and Thomas Leaguer, who I've never heard of before, you add that up, that's 30, 40, 50, about pretty close to 60,000 votes. I mean, are we going to see this, guys, where you had a lot of people, particularly on the Democratic side, who were upset with things like the Palestinian and Gaza issues, saying, I'm going to vote third party out of protest? Could they have an effect in this race for U.S. Senate as well as the president?
I don't know. I think that with numbers that small, while it is within the margin of the top two candidates, I think you always have to bake in that there's going to be a part of the electorate, in this case, you know, whatever that is, one, you know, couple of percent, mm-hmm. that will always go that way. We'd like to talk about this being binary choices, mm-hmm. but there are just some people who will always cast a protest vote, or maybe they actually do believe the Green Party will be a real party someday or something like that. I think, again, like Dan says, you got to come back to the fundamentals, not blaming the third party margin, but saying, why didn't I close this margin by more and get that gap closed?
Yeah, and if this is shaping up to be a change election, well, I think that was part of the messaging in the Senate race, too. You know, Tammy Baldwin's a multiple term incumbent, right? And mm-hmm. I think if people are looking at this as a change election, that is going to hurt her in this race as well. So that one, again, very much coming down to the wire in the Senate race. But I think the reason that maybe we haven't talked about some of the Senate race as much as the presidential race, is because those numbers are tracking very similarly.
Yeah.
And I think there is not a lot of distance between where Eric Hovde is running and where Donald Trump is running in this race, too. And so as we talk about some of the results, you know, on that side of things, the same things can be said in many ways for the Senate race as well.
Let's bring in Trygve Olsen at least one more time here before we call it quits at the top of the hour. Trygve, if you're still there in our nation's capital, Trygve Olsen, native of River Falls, Wisconsin, and a former Republican like myself, now a senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. Trygve, we've talked about on our show, it's been talked about on this network, ticket splitters out there, the Evers, Johnson voters. To Dan Schaefer's point just a minute ago, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of ticket splitters. It seems like the Trump people are voting for Hovde, the Harris people are voting for Baldwin in this, in at least in those two races?
I mean, so a couple of thoughts. One, it's hard to know until you look at the undervote how much of that's going on. Second thing is, what's the through line between the two campaigns? I mean, the truth of the matter is, in a state like Wisconsin, you have about 45-46% who are going to vote one way. You have 45-46% who are going to vote the other way, depending on the national sort of environment, and you've got that group in the middle. What's the through line between the messaging around the Hovde race, Hovde Baldwin race, and the Harris Trump race?
Yeah. What do you?
What's the through line, Todd or Pat?
It's the ads they ran against him.
And what is the ad?
It was the anti-transphobic ads. They were completely false and unfactual.
And that ad was geared right at where Trump and probably Hovde to a degree are performing better. I mean, that's the bottom line. And so if you look at Baldwin was running better than Harris for quite some time, what narrowed that race out? And here's the thing, you know, you mentioned that they were running similar ads in state legislative races. Mm-hmm. The bottom line is, when something's working, you start running it everywhere. In 1994, I was running a state Senate race against Rod Mohn. We were running against Bill Clinton. Rod Mohn had nothing to do with Bill Clinton. Mm. That's what you do. I mean, and it's geared towards a small set of voters.
Late, right?
And the reality is, you know, you have other stuff that's going on for turnout. You got to give the Trump campaign credit. And the Hovdes too, if they truly get 20% of African Americans in Milwaukee County to support them, they deserve credit. They reshape the electorate and they energize that rural turnout. That ad, Tammy Baldwin's changed. That worked.
And it's not just in Wisconsin. We're getting word now that Kamala Harris, in winning the state of New York, is going to win it by the thinnest margin in a generation, basically a 10-point shift to the right. And next door in New Jersey, it went from, you know, a 16-point advantage with Biden to a 6-point advantage for Harris. Again, about a 10-point shift to the right in these states that are reliably Democratic.
Trygve, I want to go back
to... You're seeing it in Minnesota.
Minnesota is a... Again, a very big shift that I still think Harris is going to win this, but.
No, she'll win Minnesota, but again, the
margin.
Less.
Yes.
Yeah. By the way, MSNBC now projecting, NBC News now projecting that Donald Trump will win the Peach State, the state of Georgia. Again, one of those states that Joe Biden won last time and was flipped over apparently this time now to Donald Trump. But I want to go back, Trygve, to something that Dan Schaefer has been coming back to, get your perspective on this as someone who's run national races as well, about a change election. And what do you make of this, of that kind of the other through line here, that people looked at the Biden administration and said they wanted change? To me, as someone who follows this stuff kind of as a geek politically, it seems odd to think that Donald Trump is a venue, a vessel of change. But I think Dan is right. It's different than what we've had lately. And the old phrase, you know, what have you done for me lately politically, is the same as anything else.
I don't know. There was a change election. I think it was was a values election. And, you know, they mobilized and turned out more people. I'm not sure that it was about change so much. I mean, Tammy Baldwin pulling 49% of the vote. I don't think it was so much about change as it was really a us versus them, black or white. And I think the Trump campaign understood going into this election that whoever the Democrat was, and it, particularly when it flipped to Harris and she had momentum, that they had to get people who didn't like Donald Trump to vote for him. And that's what it appears to be the case in Wisconsin. 6-8% in the exit polls of the people who voted for Trump had an unfavorable impression of him. But clearly they had a more unfavorable impression of Harris, or they felt like her values and what she would espouse didn't conform with what they did. And I mean, it's sad for guys like us to sit here and have that conversation, because, you know, we come at it from a different set of perspectives in terms of values. But that really is what it came down to.
Pat, I'm just looking at, of course, you know, again, it's not over, but the fact that things are as tight as they are. You know, some of the finger pointing is out there with people, according to one MSNBC columnist, saying that if Harris loses, there will be a lot of recriminations directed at her, but it's hard to point to any glaring mistakes that she made. The flip side is that Trump ran an awful campaign. He gave a terrible convention speech. His vice president is deeply unpopular. He lost the debate. He had no ground game. He offended key demographic groups, and none of it mattered.
I only laugh, guys, because a longtime friend of mine who worked with me at the state capitol for my former boss, State Senator Dale Schultz, we have these conversations for a long time. And I say, hey, Trump did this. Hey, Trump did that. Hey, did you see this? You know what his comeback always is? Nothing matters. Nothing matters.
Mm-hmm.
Pat, to your point.
No, it's about, you know, winning. It's about power.
Yeah.
Rather than about, I mean, I appreciate the words that Tony Weed gave, you know, in his victory speech about, you know, working across the aisle and all of that. The proof is in the pudding. And if, you know, if you end up with what is now going to be a Senate under Republican control, the House, it's too early to say, but the House may go for it. So they may switch. The House may be back under Democratic control, and Donald Trump in the White House. Look, I think we're going to have a legislature that's going to have closer margins and might be able to do a better job of working together. Mm. But I don't see signs that you're going to necessarily get that in Congress. I would only say to a Tony Weed and some of the others, dazzle us. Let's see that. Right? Let's see not the extremist bills being introduced. I'll believe it when I see it.
Dan Schaefer, help us recombobulate this one. Because people asking me, what's going on with Speaker Robin Voss? That election has not been called. What's going on there?
You know, I don't know why it hasn't been called. It does not look particularly close. I know there was some independent candidates or write-ins or whatever. But, yeah, he's in a very deep red Republican district in western Racine County. He looks like he's going to be reelected. Whether he will remain the assembly speaker is an open question.
Well, we'll talk about that for a second, because there was reporting out there that he felt, I don't know, as Trump says, people were saying that Robin Voss thought he had to have at least a 5 or 6 seat majority to keep the gavel. You know, any fact to that, Dan Schaefer?
Yeah, one of the things that I have come across in some of my reporting there as well is that, you know, he said on the record to college Democrats at UW-Madison that he needed to get to 55 assembly seats in order to remain assembly speaker. And there is kind of a short list of 4 or 5 Republicans who probably don't want Robin Voss to return as assembly speaker.
Right.
You know, there was the recall attempt against him, all of these different things. So right now it does not, you know, it's close in the assembly. There are a lot of these races really coming down to the wire. Democrats are going to make significant gains. I don't know if Republicans are going to get to that 55 seat threshold. I think they needed to win some of the, you know, further outreach races. Jody Emerson's race in the Eau Claire area, it seemed like one of them. The Sheboygan race, Steve Doyle's race. So I don't really know if he is in a position to reach that 55
Wait, are you
threshold.
Are you saying we may see what we saw in Congress with like multiple ballots to elect a speaker in the assembly this time instead of the U.S. House?
That does seem like a potential outcome. And I don't know exactly how things would shake out. We obviously need to see some more of the results here to see exactly how the assembly shapes up. We're starting to get a clearer picture of that in the last few minutes here as well. Yeah. As some of these races get close. Actually, one race that I want to talk about that is extremely close is the race in Assembly District 26. That is the one in the city of Sheboygan. Now, I've talked about this race. It was kind of an example of where how gerrymandering really impacted the state. There was a line right down the middle of the city of Sheboygan, yeah, splitting it into kind of two pink districts. Yeah. Yeah. And now all of Sheboygan is in one district, and it is a toss-up seat. Well, taking a look at the results, more than 99% of the results in, Democrat Joe Sheehan is up. Actually, he's up by a little bit more. It looks like he might win this one. Last I checked, before we started talking about this, he was up by only about 60 votes.
Wow.
So that was an incredibly close race. That looks like a potential flip here for Joe Sheehan defeating incumbent Republican Amy Binsfeld.
All right, gentlemen, we're starting to go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, I was going to make that transition as we start to wind things down. Mm-hmm. We do have some audio from Dr. Kristen Lyerly talking to Brittany Merlot when, you know, things were looking like the way that they ended up going with Tony Weed winning that race. And so let's play a little bit of Dr. Lyerly talking with Brittany Merlot a little earlier.
All right. How are you feeling?
Disappointed. You know, we put everything we had into this campaign. I have an incredible team. I'm really proud of what we've done, not just my team, but all the volunteers, all of the people who came forward and shared their stories. I'm sad. But my race is one of many. And no matter what, and we knew this was a long shot from the beginning, and no matter what, I am not done. There's so much more work that needs to be done. So I'm just going to keep doing the work because I need to. My patients, women in Wisconsin need me to. Families in Wisconsin need me to. So that won't change. I'm worried about the presidential election. If Donald Trump is our president, I'm very, very concerned about the future of reproductive health care in this country. I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that we're all okay.
And it's worth noting that, again, you have majority support for abortion rights. Come to Florida, where that referendum tonight failed, but it needed 60% to pass. It got 57%. And so there will be this push, if things go the way that they're currently looking, to continue to chip away at women's health care rights. And they fought back like never before this year.
Yeah.
And at the moment, it's possible that they're going to fall short. I'll close with what J.R. Ross from WisPolitics is kind of closing with 83% of the Wisconsin vote in. Trump is up 113,000 votes. Eric Hovde's up, but only about 63,000 votes. We do not have the central count numbers yet from Milwaukee, from Wauwatosa, from Green Bay, from Racine. Now, one analyst is projecting that Dems could net about 82,000 votes from that central count. If that was the case, that could be enough for Tammy Baldwin, but it may not be enough to give Kamala Harris the state of Wisconsin. And I haven't looked at Michigan or Pennsylvania lately, but, you know, the blue wall, it may hold, but I'm hearing cracks.
Going to go around the horn, wrap things up about 30 seconds each to 45 seconds. Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. What say you?
Sun comes up tomorrow.
That's succinct.
Could we have 27 seconds more, please? We got to. No.
I mean, I sun comes up tomorrow. I do think, you know, at the end of the day, I think we're going to see a lot of division in the country, but I think the other thing is our adversaries and what we're going to see around the world as a result of that is probably going to be a little turbulent.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about the global stage.
Trigvi Olson, thank you very much, my friend, for all your work last week and tonight as well. We'll check in with you soon. Trigvi Olson, Lincoln Project. Dan Schaefer, the Recombobulation Area.
Yeah, I think nationally the story is that Donald Trump is winning a lot of these toss-up type swing states, North Carolina and Georgia. It's going to come down to the blue wall. Maybe it was always going to come down to the blue wall. So we'll see how things shake out in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Obviously, a lot more votes to be counted in Nevada and Arizona. Right now, it does seem like Donald Trump clearly has the edge going at this point of the evening. And I think on the Senate side, you know, there's a number of races that have been moved into the Republican column. It looks like Republicans will control the Senate after this election.
Pat Kreitlow.
I think the real victory here was the friends we made along the way. That's all I've got to close with here, because it was, as always, you see the volunteers that are out there,
right,
the voters that you talk to, people who've never been involved in something like this before. They got involved in democracy. They stepped up their civic engagement, and that is a win.
Many thanks to Corey Hartman, Jamie Martinson, Chris Giese, Chris Casper, Aaron Zommers, all the engineers. I'm not saying quickly enough here. All the people behind
the
scenes. The
band is playing you off, exactly.
Thank you very much. Thank you for listening. Well, Pat and I are back tomorrow at 6 a.m. We'll see you then. Have a good evening. This has been Wisconsin Decides 2024 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinee on Air.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report, Campaign 24.
CBS News characterizes U.S. Senate control as leaning Republican, and the presidential contest in Wisconsin is leaning towards former President Donald Trump. Trump so far has 230 electoral votes and Vice President Kamala Harris 189. 270 votes are needed to win. CBS's Tony DeCopel at Trump headquarters in West Palm Beach, Florida.
The young staffers are now looking for apartments in Washington, D.C. and talking openly about what jobs they want in the new administration. So they are measuring the drapes, so to speak.
CBS's Nancy Cordes at Harris headquarters in Washington, D.C.
There's not a single state that they are expressing confidence right now that they are going to win. They just keep reassuring their supporters that they still have a chance. And this is not the position that many of their supporters thought they'd be in at this point in the night.
CBS News Special Report, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
This is 93.5 The Tap. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds to stick with us here the overnight, and a little patchy fog forming as well. Temperatures will drop to the middle to upper 30s by the time we get to sunrise. Morning fog, then mostly cloudy on Wednesday. Highs in the upper 40s to near 50. Currently 44 degrees.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Wisconsin Decides 2024. As the campaigning comes to an end and your ballot is cast, you'll find continuing coverage of this important election right here.
Special reports start at 6 November 5th, and when the polls close at 8, coverage of the presidential, Senate, and your important local races will come in from around the state.
It's your vote as Wisconsin Decides on November 5th, starting at 6 p.m. on 93.5 The Tap and the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Did you get Norske Nook pie for breakfast? Mr. Buck, I don't see any raspberry cream cheese pie over by you, so point for me. Good morning, Mr. Buck.
Sometimes you're just incredibly mean.
Can we be happy for the fact that Todd Alba is delivering pies? Don't we have the best coworkers here?
Oh, yeah, great. With you literally rubbing pie in my face.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
That first time seeing my son,
I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Continuing election coverage you won't find anywhere else, including results when the polls close on November 5th. I'm James Kelly. Count on us on air on WCFW, on the web at WCFW.fm, and always on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
The timing is historic. The launch of WFHR radio happened at the same time residents cast their votes in a pivotal presidential election. It was November 1940. Wisconsin Rapids Daily Tribune newspaper publisher William F. Huffman believed radio could provide live entertainment and information to the community. The station officially on air November 5th, and just in time for election results, Democratic incumbent President Franklin D. Roosevelt announced to serve an unprecedented third term. A dedication 5 days later included a celebration, and the public joined in on the event. 84 years later, WFHR continues to be a treasured voice in the community, and again celebrates on-air success at the same time as another important presidential election, this time in 2024. Join me in congratulating WFHR for 8 decades of broadcast excellence.